Welcome to Making a Difference, episode 22, Firebrand. Senator Kamala Harris is Joe Biden's VP pick. I could have probably made that a little bit shorter title, but it is the big breaking news on today, August 11th, and we are going to be talking about former Vice President Biden has made his choice for his vice presidential candidate and hopefully the future vice president of the United States, and that is Kamala Harris. We'll talk more about her and a few other tidbits and some interesting facets coming up later in the show with some clips from our dear president. And I know everybody gets sick of it, and we've played so many hundreds of hours of clips of Trump, but it is always entertaining. I want to say again, for Making a Difference, episode 22, and Kamala Harris is the headline. She is the VP pick for Joe Biden. We'd like to first of all thank our platforms and our launch pads, including Anchor, our big platform, iHeartRadio that's come on recently, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter, and anywhere else you might pick us up. We'll have a big, huge expansion coming up right around Labor Day, the last 60 days, a little bit less than 2 months before the election on November 3rd. So stay tuned for that, please. And we'd like to say hello to our top five countries. Continues to be, of course, the United States and Canada, number two. And then the United Kingdom, back at number three. Australia, four. And Germany is number five. So thanks to those countries. And a new country has joined us, Colombia. So buenos noches, or buenos dias, or buenas tardes, whatever time of day you're listening. Down in Colombia and any Spanish-speaking country, any country you're listening to, thanks so much. We are making a difference. Let's talk first. We had a show ready to go, but as usual, we have breaking news. And this time it's, we hope, good breaking news. And that is that we have a selection of Kamala Harris as former Vice President Biden's pick for the Democratic nominee to be future Vice President of the United States. Now, Kamala Harris is a senator from California. She's a Democratic senator since 2017. She is a lawyer, and she has been quite a former prosecutor, actually, and has been a very vocal critic of Donald Trump over the past several years, and she will be a huge asset to come in the future debates. She'll be debating, of course, Mike Pence, our current vice president, who we want to talk a little bit about briefly today, and we'll get more into as their debates come up in the future. Mike Pence is going to be an interesting debate opponent versus Kamala Harris. I think he's going to have some problems. Right now, let's talk a little bit about her. Senator Kamala Harris is the first woman of color ever to be chosen as a running mate, and she's a former prosecutor, a very vocal Trump critic, as we said. She's an American lawyer and politician, serving as the junior United States Senator from California since 2017. A Democrat, Harris is the second African-American woman and the first Indian-American to serve in the United States Senate, her heritage being also from heritage from India and along with being African-American. So she has quite a background and quite a history, actually, in her career as a lawyer, as a prosecutor. And it's interesting because Joe Biden, our presidential candidate and hopefully future president, is a former public defender. And before he became a U.S. Senator, Joe Biden was a public defender up in Wilmington in Delaware. And Kamala Harris out in California was a prosecutor. So they had some interesting debate moments against each other. But I think she's going to be a formidable opponent, not just for Donald Trump, but certainly for Vice President Pence, who's going to have some problems. Now, Kamala Harris did run against Joe Biden for the Democratic nomination, and she was actually one of the top runners. A lot of people were thinking this will be the time the Democrats need to have a female win the election. And of course, we've had females in the past running on tickets and running for a vice president and president, but we haven't had any success until we hope now. So she'll be the vice president. What's critical here to keep in mind is that should Joe Biden become elected, the former vice president, former U.S. senator, If Joe Biden does become elected president and takes office January 20th of 2021, he will at that time already have turned 78 years old. So he turned 78 on November 20th, right before both my son's birthdays. And so he's November 20th, and right after the election, hopefully we'll have a good birthday party. But the question becomes then, in 2024, when Joe Biden is 82 years old, assuming he's still healthy and going well, would he run again for re-election? Would Kamala Harris be the choice for the Democrats, and Joe Biden would say goodbye at one term? That's down the road. Let's worry about winning the election first. That's what we're going to be. We'll talk about Kamala Harris. And let's hear right now a little bit from her, because this was actually back in March of 2020. And this is an example of Senator Kamala Harris. If you're not familiar with her, a fantastic clip. Let's take a listen right now.
Let's talk about the Joe we know. I'm going to tell you, I am so proud to endorse Joe Biden to be the next president of the United States. I believe in Joe. I believe in Joe. You know, one of the things that is so reflective of his personality is when he says, there is room for everyone. That's who he is. That's really who he is. He is an individual who has lived a life of incredible service to others. He has made great personal sacrifices in his life. He has experienced in life great pain and great glory. He understands who people are. And you know, I've been in Washington, D.C. for about 3 years now, and I'm gonna tell you something. Donald Trump, he doesn't get it. Donald Trump does not get it. He does not see people. The only people he sees are the person he looks in the mirror and sees. He does not see the people. We need a president of the United States who feels, who understands, who is thinking about that father who is at his kitchen table past midnight trying to figure out how he's going to get through the end of the month, when he's working two jobs and knows he's missing his son's ball game. We need somebody who sees that mother who is sitting in the parking lot looking at the sliding glass doors of the emergency room and knows that even though she has insurance, if she walks through those sliding glass doors with her sick child, she might be out of pocket $1,000 to $4,000 for her deductible. We need a president of the United States who has the courage and the power to see and feel and understand that is a sign of strength. And then through that strength, lift up the people. That is Joe Biden.
Yes. That is Joe Biden. And that was a stunning speech, actually, by Senator Kamala Harris back in March, to say she wasn't auditioning a bit for the to become the vice presidential pick, and hopefully the future vice president of the United States under Joe Biden would be an underestimation. She certainly was, but she was making some excellent points. And the biggest point of all is, let's compare Joe Biden against Donald Trump and take a look at Donald Trump, because when John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis, the civil rights pioneer, passed away, this president didn't even bother to go to the services or even go to the Capitol when he was laying in state to give his respects, to show even a modicum of remorse for one of the great civil rights leaders of our time. And you know what the president said? I didn't know John Lewis. He didn't come to my inauguration. He said that twice when he's being interviewed. He didn't come to my inauguration. So that's what it comes down to. For this president, did you come to his inauguration? You could have come, but you didn't come. Everything he did, John Lewis, every time he marched with Martin Luther King through the streets of Washington, across the bridge in Alabama, attacked by police, arrested, spit on, beaten, thrown in jail, abused, all of what he endured in the South to try to make civil rights happen in this United States and help succeed in, that doesn't matter. To Donald Trump, what matters is, did you go to his stupid inauguration? That's what it comes down to. Back to our vice presidential pick. And Kamala Harris is a wonderful choice. She certainly is somebody who is, if not unscathed, emerges looking pretty good for the VP spot. She does want to be president, and she is ready to go if it does happen down the road. Now, there were a lot of choices that former Vice President Biden could have made, but Kamala Harris is going to be one who is going to be tough out there in the battle. As a former prosecutor, and many politicians are former lawyers, she's somebody who can go up front and pick battles, especially with Mike Pence. Mike Pence is such a pathetic loser. It's unbelievable. So Kamala Harris, you've already heard a little bit about her, and hopefully you knew some about her. We'll talk more about her as we get further on into the summer and fall, closer to the election. The Vice President Pence. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later in this show or the next show a little bit about what the Vice President's religious beliefs are and how they've come into play during this administration. Of course, he's a right-wing zealot, former senator from Indiana. Mike Pence had a viewpoint, and I can almost guarantee in one of the debates, Kamala Harris, when they start talking about birth control or about stopping HIV, AIDS, sexually transmitted disease, pregnancies, when they start talking about prevention, condoms, that this is going to come up because the vice president, now this was in 2002, so it was, you know, over 18 years ago in February, on CNN, Vice President Pence said, talking about condoms and sex, he said, quote, "Well, I just believe the only truly safe sex, Wolf, as the president believes," that was President Bush at the time, "is no sex. The other part is that, frankly, condoms are a very, very poor protection against sexually transmitted diseases." That's our current vice president. That's our current vice president, who also, by the way, is involved in far right-wing beliefs. He's been all the time. If you look at his eyes, look at his eyes when he's debating Kamala Harris. Vice President Pence's eyes are gazing off into space. You don't really know what they're looking at or what he's thinking of. My guess, he's not really thinking of much of anything, to be honest. And that's a sad situation. Congratulations to Kamala Harris. Congratulations to our future president, I hope, Joe Biden, and our future vice president, Kamala Harris, on being selected. We have to go over the statistics on coronavirus because we just have to do it every show when we get an opportunity. And the numbers are grim, especially for August 11th. As of today, and this comes to us from the Johns Hopkins Coronavirus Resource Center, daily statistics in the United States, over 5 million cases now, 164,603 fatalities, but 2,738,534 people have recovered. So we are thankful for that. Worldwide, over 20 million cases, 743,949 deaths, but over 13.4 million recovered worldwide. Again, we look at the future and we're hopeful. Unlike what the president keeps saying, the Democrats and the people on the left wing of the political circle are not trying to get more deaths. We want people to wear masks and have fewer deaths. But we've seen the Republican governors in these red states do exactly the opposite. And now we've seen, as we talked about in previous episodes, what's happened in Florida and Texas. Fortunately, the numbers have gone down a bit over the past week or two nationwide. We're hopeful that they will go down further and that the vaccine will be out by late in the year, early 2021. Russia says they have a vaccine now. That is totally unconfirmed. We have no reports that that's legitimate or that that's guaranteed to work or that it's been tested enough. This is coming from Russia, and they're probably trying to help Trump, to be honest. So I would be very, very cautious about anything coming from Russia on coronavirus right now. We are cautiously optimistic that things will get a bit better as the summer progresses to an end toward fall. We'll be right back. Okay, we're back again with Making a Difference, episode 22. Congratulations to Senator Kamala Harris. She is the vice presidential pick as of today for, and hopefully forever, for former Vice President, former Senator Biden. I think they're going to make a great team together. Now, we were talking before the break a little bit about what's been going on with coronavirus. The president had an interview, actually, with Jonathan Swan. He's from OAS. And it was a fascinating interview. I wanted to play more of it, and I may in the future. It's one of the best interviews that I've seen done of the president. And this, I believe, was the end of July. So it may have been 2 weeks ago now that this happened. But it's really pertinent because he talked a lot about coronavirus. He also looked at some different statistics and talked about some different things, too. The president was incoherent. Now, the president is incoherent a lot these days in 2020. He was also in 2019 and 2018 and 17. All the way back since we've been doing the show, It's Time to Talk and Act, in 2015, we've been talking about how incoherent and insane and narcissistic this president is, future president at the time in 15 and 16. But we wanted to play some of this because this interview was fantastic. I have to give credit where credit's due. By the way, the previous clip with Kamala Harris came to us via MLive. I wanted to be sure and thank them. The upcoming clip, we're going to hear two different clips. This is from David Pakman's show. He has a wonderful show talking political stuff like we do. And this is Jonathan Swan of OAS talking with the president. So we're going to hear this little cut here, and then I will explain to you exactly what happened.
Look at some of these charts.
I'd love to.
We're going to look.
Let's look.
And if you look at death,
yeah,
there,
started to go up again.
One. Well, right here, the United States is lowest in numerous categories. We're lower than the world.
Lower than
we're
the
lower
world.
Than what is that? Europe.
Okay, it's hard to say. You know, we've played hundreds, I don't know, maybe thousands of clips in the 121 shows we've done on the two different shows we've had. And this one may be the best of Trump. It's hard to say. I say that a lot. But that is just fantastic. What happened was Jonathan Swan was asking him about these numbers he's coming up with. The president is arguing that as far as coronavirus goes, it's not the total number of deaths that happened, because right now we're at 164,000 and going and moving higher in the United States, by far the most of any country in the world. It's not the number of deaths, but it's the number of people we get tested that die out of that number, because we're testing so many more than other people, than other countries are. You're bound to have more people die. If people die in the other countries and they weren't tested, well, see, then that's not fair. I mean, you have to try and think like Donald Trump. He said, quote, take a look at this. And he was handing Jonathan Swan a chart. And he said, take a look at this. The United States is lowest in numerous categories. Now, numerous categories, we're lower than the world. I'm sorry, I can't stop laughing. He said, the United States is lowest in numerous categories. We're lower than the world. Lower than Europe. I thought Europe was in the world. I'm sorry. I am really a stupid. I'm 62 years old. I know I've had a college education and worked and been around the world and done a lot of wonderful work and volunteer work and political work. And I'm a fairly intelligent person. But I didn't realize that you could be, first of all, lower than the world. Okay, so you're... Which the world, by the way, does include the United States. So I think he meant lower than the world, except for the United States. And then he said lower than Europe. So he's talking about how the United States is lowest in actual cases per people tested. And again, and then he told Jonathan Swan that he couldn't change the numbers and just look at the number of people who died, because that's not really important. This clip right here is stunning. And I'm just going to play it. This is continuing. Again, this is the interview with Jonathan Swan and the president from the David Pakman Show. Let's listen to this beauty.
This
listen to every word you say. They hang on your every word. They don't listen to me or the media or Fauci. They think we're fake news. They want to get their advice from you. And so when they hear you say everything's under control, don't worry about wearing masks, I mean, these are people, many of them are older people, Mr. President.
What's the definition of control? Yeah. Under the
giving them a false sense of security.
Now, I think it's under control. I'll tell you what.
How? 1,000 Americans are dying a day.
They are dying. That's true. And you it is what it is. But that doesn't mean we aren't doing everything we can. It's under control.
Okay. So the president said regarding 1,000 Americans a day, and the numbers are varied, by the way. We've seen them spike up to 1,400, 1,500 a day dying in some recent weeks. And then we've had some in the last few days where we've dropped well under 1,000, which may be good news. Nevertheless, speaking about 1,000 Americans a day, the president said, and they're dying, that's true. It is what it is. That's the president's answer to 1,000 Americans dying every day, to over 164,000 Americans dying of COVID-19. It is what it is. What's most important is my reelection. And taking these numbers and trying to, he brought out these charts. I wish I could show you video. I will on Facebook. But the president brought out these charts that I guess some of his young 22-year-old stupid assistants that he's still hiring actually made for him. And these charts show bars and graphs and stuff. This is stuff we saw in 1987, okay? And maybe, I don't even think a president in the interview would be doing it then. But he's got all these papers and he's handing them to Jonathan Swan. And he's saying, look at this and look at this. And Jonathan Swan, this guy has balls. Give him credit. He said to the president, what are you showing? What are you saying? What are you talking about? Because the only way this man can finally be taken to task is if somebody looks him in the eye like Jonathan Swan of OAS did and said, Mr. President, what are you talking about? The president said, we're lower than the world. And I think it's hard for me. I'm not an expert on everything, but I will say it's hard for me to say that we're not lower than the world. I don't think we're lower than the world and Europe. And again, I thought we were part of the world too. It's pretty sad. It's really pretty pathetic that we have a president like this. And hopefully that will come to an end soon. I wanted to talk about my main subject, which I didn't get a chance to get to, which was a little bit about, we have to go back into some subjects that are important. Because we just had a vice president, Kamala Harris, named as former vice president, former Senator Biden's pick to be his running mate. I wanted to talk a little bit about Mike Pence. Mike Pence is part of a group of people. Mike Pence, you might remember and you might forget, he's an evangelical right-wing former Indiana senator and governor. Indiana, which is about as red of a state as you can get. I went to a gay bar in Indiana, and this wasn't really that long ago. It may have been maybe 15 years ago. And I had to go to the outside of town and show an ID, and they asked me at the door, sir, do you realize this is a gay bar? And I said, yeah, that's why I'm here. So that's the kind of state the vice president comes from. Anyway, the Trump administration has a Bible study teacher. Now, President Trump and his cronies have lately said that the president doesn't attend these Bible study classes. The Bible studies oftentimes were hosted by Vice President Pence, and they included quite a few interesting people from the administration. And these are people who are important in the administration. And that includes, well, let's give a list of some of the people. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Dr. Ben Carson. We've heard Dr. Carson before in his homophobic rants. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Alex Azar. Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. That's a big one. And Secretary of Education, Betsy DeVos. All of these people, and many more on the Republican side, have been attending these weekly biblical readings and meetings hosted by Ralph Drollinger and his wife from ChristianPost.com. What do they believe? Now, the Trump administration's Bible study teacher And President Trump claims he doesn't go to these Bible studies anymore, by the way. But Pence does and still hosts them. The Bible study teacher said that the coronavirus may be God's punishment for LGBTQ people. Ralph Drollinger says the U.S. is being punished by God for homosexuality, environmentalism, and for not being a strictly Christian state. This is somebody who the vice president has hosting a Bible study meeting in his office. And we have people like Dr. Ben Carson. We have Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State attending. This is what they believe. Now, they want a strictly Christian state. Many cabinet members attended the Bible study. Drollinger said it was the first cabinet-level Bible study group in at least 100 years. Now, the Bible studies are for federal department heads, members of Congress, and the administration. And that includes, as I said, cabinet members that we talked about. On March 21st, Drollinger wrote a post titled, "Is God Judging America Today?" In the past, Drollinger contends that since God is just, sin must and will be paid for. He adds that wrath is an inevitable consequence. The post largely focused on the last two forms of wrath, forsaking wrath and consequential wrath. Drollinger wrote that the goal of the Bible study for the week, this was March 21st, 2020, the goal of Bible study for the week was to examine and carefully evaluate the biblical understanding of those two forms of wrath in regard to answering the question, is God judging America again today? I don't know. What do you think? Drollinger's post goes on to list five identifiers of forsaking wrath. One of the five identifiers identified Drollinger is a sensation towards homosexuality. 2020, gay marriage, gay people, we're allowed in the military. We just had it made legal so you can't be fired from your job or kicked out of your house for being gay. We're finally making forward progress. And we have people in this administration, including the vice president, who are listening to this guy talking about Bible study and, you know, homosexuality. That's not such a good thing. In bold letters, Drollinger wrote, quote, "Those individuals who are rebuked by God's forsaking wrath are largely responsible for God's consequential wrath on our nation." But Drollinger contended that he has great encouragement because he's witnessing a groundswell of faithful individuals who have been voted into office. So according to the Bible study teacher, not only for the president, the vice president, cabinet heads, a lot of Republicans in Congress, they listen to these Bible studies. All we need to do is get rid of the homosexuals. And they're the problem anyway. They caused COVID, we caused COVID-19 now. We're to blame for that. Drollinger went on to say, if my calculations are correct, and they are, there are more believers in Congress and the executive branch now than at any time in modern history, and they are beginning to reach a tipping point. A tipping point. In other words, if Donald Trump were to somehow get reelected and Republicans ended up still controlling the Senate, that's the tipping point, folks. That's where we lose our democracy and the United States of America. It's stunning, absolutely stunning to hear this. We have to keep going over this again and again. They're using taxpayer dollars, by the way, for these meetings and to print it, to send out all these emails and the time it takes for these people to make organize these biblical study meetings where we have the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and the Vice President listening to someone talking about how bad homosexuality is and how we get rid of the homosexuals. And we're the problem in 2020. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. If there's anybody who's gay or lesbian or transgender or bisexual or anything who's still voting for this idiot, then you've got some serious problems, my friend. Frankly, anybody who's still voting for Donald Trump, at this point in August of 2020, you've got more than serious problems. You got psychological problems. And you need to go live in Russia, because this country ain't for you. And I've said enough for this week. I'm Eric Crossley, episode 22 of Making a Difference. We'll be back next week. And congratulations, Kamala.